I'm going off the satellite. Hello. Okay. This is the addendum to, you know, I'm no longer on the, apparently we're having some trouble with our modem. So I'm on a satellite now. Hopefully it will remain consistent. And I need these lights cut, please. Wow. So, you know, it's not that I want to bum anyone out or me, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, but I don't want to be artificial either. You know, this idea of this kind of permanent lockdown thing, and I would like this to end. But because the election's coming, I mean, it ends, if you're a protester, of course, there is no lockdown for you. Showing the hypocritical, of course, lying nature of it, there's no need for a lockdown. But now they're increasing the deaths of COVID. In Florida, I noticed we had 1,000 and all that. To that, what I say is it looks like either the strain is mutated or they're releasing, a stronger strain in order to keep America locked down because it worked so well the first time. You could always reinfect just by bringing infected people here and spreading them around. That's all you have to do, and then off it goes again, right? So that's tempting. I mean, that's logical that they would try something like that. And the question is, I guess what I have is, are we ever going to be allowed to fight back, or are we going to just die, you know? What is the answer to that? Because usually in a war, you know, unless this is a really, really crazy judgment of God, you know, where it's just like America is so evil that I, the Lord, must completely destroy it from stem to stern and eliminate it from the minds of existence. America must be destroyed so that it is never mentioned again. And Americans must all be killed because of how wicked America is. And if that's the case, then I suppose it would make sense then to see what we're seeing now. The precursor to, you know, especially since Americans won't defend themselves. And, I mean, we had one in Austin, Texas. It was like a miracle. You know, that there's somebody actually willing to, to not be shot and killed. And then that begs another question, you know, what is it in us now? What is the spirit that's pervading that makes us not want to defend ourselves? That makes us want to give in to the enemy? Is it just, you know, if we just give in for a little while and it'll all go away? Because that's never happened before. People need to need to fight back in order to, you know, have a voice to be heard. If it goes the Marxist way, then that would be, you know, the Bolshevik. Then what they would do is they would trample the countryside. They would kill all the people living rurally and take over the cities and then put together their own little corrupt government and make sure nobody has the resources or freedom to ever mount any kind of counterattack ever again. So you'd have to fight for that because that would be, you know, that'd be the end of your children and the end of you and the end of everything. And that's kind of like where this is headed. And so I would say this, if you have any of that survival instinct left or that which makes you human, you may, you know, just think about, you know, what it would entail to fight back. I mean, obviously, arm yourself, train, you know, and I got to do that too. I mean, all I got to do is shoot off the porch here. I'm training, but, you know, I mean, just be, you know, be aware of, you know, that things may not go that smoothly. We had hoped, after the COVID thing looked like it was backing off and things were opening up. And like I said, I spent a day at a couple of days at Galveston on the beach down there in the, you know, in the middle of it all. And there's families as far as you could see, you know, there on the beach. And they were in the water and they were, you know, they're throwing the ball around and, you know, there's just nothing going on. It was just nobody was sick really. And then came this next release. And I call it a release because it just seemed like two different strains. This one going after more children. And it didn't seem like it was a mutation. It seemed like it was a different strain, like they brought in another attack. And if they could do that without Trump batting an eye, then they could theoretically keep America down forever. While, and also the other reason that I suspect that there's foul play is because the other countries aren't experiencing the same thing that we are, especially in Asia or in China or down in Southeast Asia or Europe, really. They're not experiencing that spike as America has had. And it seems to be America specific, which makes me think it's a attack because Americans were not cooperating like our globalist bosses want us to. They want us on our knees. And if you've got a petulant child like Gates running it, who gets personally offended when people don't go along, and he likes to punish. And that's what I believe you're experiencing, a Gates punishment at this point. I believe it's a second strain. I don't believe it's a morph or I don't believe it's a mutation. I believe it's a fresh strain that was released in order to, rapidly spread and infect. And then it goes after a different kind of people, younger people. And the idea of, I think what they're going for, just my guess is, at this point, they're going for a lockdown, like a full-on lockdown with a new strain, figuring Trump and, you know, Homeland Security or whoever's involved in domestic protection, which I guess aren't too many people anymore. We don't have any military. You know, and when you don't have military, you don't have any way of defending yourself. You don't have military. We're supposed to fight off enemies, foreign and domestic, and then they became traitors. You know, it's funny. I was just looking at the Marine. We contribute to the Marines. We have, right, Trish?
Yeah.
So we contribute to the Marines the history of Marine. They have like a museum, and you know they keep the records of the history of the Marines. And I was looking through the magazine. They send it out once a year. They list people that donate, you know, significant amounts of money to it. There's quite a few people, retired Marines and people who are not retired Marines, you know, just patriotic people. And as far as contributing to the Marines, which is, like I say, there's pictures and there's memorabilia that you can get and there's... you know, it's just basically about the Marine Museum and keeping the culture alive of having a ready force like the Marines to defend America against enemies, foreign and domestic, and being loyal to the president. And I suppose what's happened is the Joint Chiefs have told the Marines to stand down. I mean, if anyone has any info on that, I'd love to hear it. Matt, you, other people, you're a Marine, other people, just love to hear your theory on what's happened here, because it's very frightening. And I don't think your everyday soldiers have defected. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that, you know, at the very top, at the Joint Chiefs level, it looks like they have broken the chain of command. I've said this several times. Nobody is really... countered me on it or challenged me on that point. I think we all saw Mark Esper apologize for standing with Trump in front of the church like we're not going to have our churches burned down, and he showed his family Bible. And somehow that was such a great offense that he lost his chain of command by standing in front of the church that they, the rioters, the Marxists, the enemy, the traitors, burned down. Just like you see people, giving, I think they've given $1 billion to Black Lives Matter. They've given at least $500 million to Antifa, and especially arming the mob, because they all now have AR-15s. None of them know how to shoot. And they're shooting themselves and shooting each other. It's not funny, though. You know, I mean, it's not funny. They will eventually learn to shoot. And I believe that what's going on here is we got to go back to Albert Pike. And, you know, Trump wanted to rebuild the statue of Albert Pike. And that's where I started really... I started thinking that, you know, that for all the good, that you know, he just signed a thing on drugs that diabetics could get insulin at pennies on the dollar. And that just went into effect. So he'll do something good like that. You know, that we have to acknowledge it. You can't just, I'm going to treat Trump just like Obama or Bush. I'm not going to have special treatment one way or the other. You know what I mean? But these are good things that are, and, you know, human trafficking and all that he's done a good job with the cartels, much better than the other presidents, and also a very good job. You want to know where Trump has really done the best work of any president? Is the amount of deaths in war. A fraction of Bush and Obama's record. A fraction. Like 100 compared to 3,500, something like that. Okay? And no one gives him credit for that because he didn't want to be in these foreign wars. I mean, that's a huge blessing, and nobody acknowledges that good side. And then there's the bad side, which you know, when he wants to resurrect the statue of Albert Pike, that makes me start thinking that... He's either totally ignorant or he's not being honest or something is going wrong. But again, he didn't have to sign the drug bill. The drug makers are pressuring him not to do that. The big companies, big corporations. He didn't have to attack the cartels. You know, he didn't have to withdraw troops from useless fights out there that had nothing to do with domestic security. And thus save thousands of lives of our soldiers. He doesn't get credit for any of that. The soldiers have all turned on. West Point, graduating class, was, you know, all they could do is criticize Trump. And now they're screaming at him for using DHS to try to keep down the violence against federal buildings and the murder rates and the death rates. Again, he had the lowest amount of casualties and deaths in war of any president. If this is the end of the road for him, he will have done better than all the presidents in my lifetime in that regard. He's the one president that was not for constant war. Doesn't he get credit for that? Or is just Orange Man bad if you say anything, we're going to shoot you in the head? I told Trish I'd like to leave this country. I mean, it looks like You know what it looks like. It looks like we ain't ever coming back. And, you know, I understand the third world. I understand how corrupt it is. I'd rather take my chances there. You know, at least there, you know, you pay the guy off to leave you alone, right? You pay the man off to leave you alone. You learn how to do that. You pay the police chief to just, you know, have a little extra protection on your house. Right? Every year you give a nice gift to the chief and the family and, you know, in Costa Rica or, you know, Belize or somewhere, and they'd leave you alone, right? You know, that's what McAfee did. He did that in Belize. And then he didn't one year. The next thing you know, his dog is dead or whatever, you know, and then he ends up killing his neighbor and then he tries to get away with it. Man, the guy was armed to the teeth. He's funny as could be, that guy. But, man, oh, man, you know, what triggered all that with him being on the lam was that he didn't pay that last year. He didn't pay the police chief. You've got to pay the police chief if you're going to be in the Caribbean. Got to. And the police chief will make sure your home is not razed. And the burglars and robbers and all kinds of bad dudes, they don't come to your house because they're all over the place people think there's a third world or a Caribbean paradise. There is not a Caribbean paradise. There's Caribbean poverty. And, you know, they'll take any reason to go after a gringo. I'll tell you, it doesn't take much, you know. So it's, you know, so you need protection. But the way it is here, it's less dangerous in the third world now than it is here, because you know what to do, right? You pay off a few people, and you know, and you make sure that they know that you have their best interest in mind, and that you know you don't. It doesn't take a genius to figure this stuff out. You know, in order to survive, in order to not be harmed. Well, there's a point where they can't protect you. That's probably if you get too old, you ought to just, you know, be somewhere. But, you know, you're vulnerable to the old age people in the nursing homes. They'll get you. They killed, I don't know how many thousands of seniors. I don't know that there's any place on earth that's safe from the tyranny of hell. I mean, it's pure hell. I mean, you're walking on eggshells now. You know, any minute you could be killed. And that's just not something that I remember. What I would like, and what I'm going to pray for, is, you know, I've prayed about Gates. I've handed over Gates, and I get this feeling that Gates is fulfilling something of God's plan. Gates has some role, and you can't just take Gates out. Even though he's the, you know, the head of the pyramid at this point. Well, he's probably not the ultimate head. I mean, there's probably, you know, a head that you don't see. But he's the visible head of the pyramid at this point. And when he throws a temper tantrum, which he does all the time, you know, people get hurt. It's like, kill those people. They go. Somebody goes and kills them, you know. He's got that kind of power. And, you know, he's very mad at America, at Americans, for not obeying him. I know. I just keep thinking back in high school. Had he just been taken out then, the world would be such a much better place. You know, instead of a tyranny, you'd have a better shot at freedom. This guy has quashed more freedom. I mean, he's like 10 Adolf Hitlers. But people don't realize it because he's seems so feminine, you know, in his little sweater and his soft, effeminate voice, and you know, and it's really Melinda that's the one that's all barking the orders and being very didactic and all this, and being like the head. You know, it's all she's the man, he's the woman. But whatever, it's still Gates. It's the Gates family that goes back. I don't know, whatever, back to Nazi Germany, back to the formation of Nazis, and before that, they're you know high up in the charts. And unfortunately, we've been, you know, we haven't really thought about Gates over the years because it just looked like he was benign. But, you know, if you see that big foundation building in Seattle, you realize that this is a big deal, you know. This is, a you know, not some small, you know, some guy that's interchangeable. This is a guy that's high up in the hierarchy. And he's listened to, and when he throws a temper tantrum, it, you know, obviously people die. And it's really, well, I'm not going to lament it, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be sad over it. The only thing I'm sad about is that people, they seem to have lost the will, you know, Christians, you know, through faith and prayer would be strengthened, you know, and understand that, you know, one of the greatest warriors of all time, David, wrote most of the Psalms. When we pray these Psalms here, we're praying the Psalm of a mighty warrior who would defend his family and defend his kingdom, who's not afraid of battle. And that's why he's praying. You know, sometimes he feels like God's abandoned him, you know, that he's left all alone and they're going to slay him. And then somehow he prevails because God is with him. And the Psalms show that struggle, you know. And so you're taking, so when you pray those Psalms, one would think, well, the understanding about war and peace, and you know, and a time for war and a time for peace, a time for battle and a time to stand down, that people would understand that David's coming from that standpoint of, you know, King David, and you know, the one he sort of, you know, won his way to the top. I mean, I know he was a man after, you know, that God favored David, and you know, he showed that he was courageous in battle, and was handed so many victories against the Philistines and other people, and made mistakes too. And, you know, got people killed, and, you know, it went back and forth, but in God, you know, he was the apple of God's eye in a sense. And, you know, God favored this kind of man. He wasn't perfect, but he was a warrior. He wasn't afraid to fight if he had to, even if the odds were not, you know, in his favor, so to speak. And, well, I'll take that one guy defending himself in Austin as a sign that we're not completely dead in that regard. I mean, I would hope that if there was some war on, that's the thing about it, domestic war, you know, the focus of the globalist is on destroying America. Otherwise, you would see the same spikes that you see here elsewhere, but you're not going to see that. Only here you have thousands and millions and trillions of people infected and dying and dead. But where? Across the border? Over there in Europe? Over there in Asia? Where else? It just seems awfully unfair. But awfully targeted. And like I say, it would take nothing to get another to get a different strain of the virus out, infect some people, bring them here, spread it all over the place. It would take nothing for them to do that. I mean, it'd be easy, like falling off a log. It's absolutely no big deal to do something like that. Who could stop it? The key for me was the fact that it attacks children. And before it didn't. That was huge. Huge piece of information. We should seize on that. We should suspect foul play based on that. Not just say it's the same disease morphing. Now it wants children. Wrong answer. Different strain. More plausible. If you think that these people spread it here, which I happen to believe from day one, and I report it as such from day one, that they spread it around the world. China spread it, you know, China, you know, Fauci had a hand in it, you know, Gates had a hand in it, all these guys spread it all over the world to get their way. And then they say, you don't give us our way, we'll punish you like America. Now watch, we're going to make America the example. Here's another strain. Now look at that. You don't want that in your country, Italy? You don't want that in your country, UK? Well then, you better behave. You better do what your masters tell you to do. You don't have freedom over there. You don't have freedom in America. We are the owners, not you. You don't have a constitution or a democracy or a constitutional republic or a representative republic. You don't have any such thing. We tell you what to do. We're a hidden hand most of the time until we're not. And we show you who's boss. And I think that most Americans believe that this is going to go away. You know, that they're going to stop. The only reason, I would love that, but the only reservation I have about it is that they've shown their faces now, folks. They've shown their faces. We know now who they are. Can the genie be put back in the bottle? Now that we know who the enemy is? Do we go back to nod, nod, wink, wink? Do we go back to whistling by the proverbial graveyard? Do we go back to pretending it's not happening? Pretending that we're free? Pretending that we're living our own lives? Will they let us have that luxury? Well, all those are good questions. And I believe that through prayer they can be settled. I mean, I have to ask God, please, Lord. Why did you bring us so far? Why have you started up a new revival? A Jesus revival. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why have you started up a new revival about Jesus? If you're just going to cut it off and punish and punish and punish. When you had a strong remnant here, Lord. Very strong. Many God-fearing. Many praying. Many, many, many. We had corrupt churches. We lost the church fight. But we're hoping to get it back at some point in the future. In other words, places of worship that are not corrupt, that are safe for the kids and free from the predators, right? That's right. Would you say that's in America? We have to pray to be free of the predators. The people that prey on our children, we need to be free of them, right? It's funny, one of these Antifa guys that got arrested, he was a convicted pedophile and, apparently, attempted murder. He stabbed a guy for being a Trump supporter, and he was a convicted pedophile. So there's how many of these pedophiles are there? You know, I mean, there's that, and then there's the how many people have taken an oath to Satan? How many people that have taken an oath to Satan are also pedophiles? Now, there's a really good question. Have you ever heard that? How many who are structural Satanists, meaning you've taken the oath to Satan, meaning you your baptism is rejecting Christ, right? Now, how many of those guys are also pedophiles? Well, now, there's an interesting question. That I'd love to know that statistic. Would you say, 90%? 100? Probably 100. That seems to be part and parcel of Satanism, is getting the kids. 800,000 kids a year go missing in America, and they never return. I wonder where they go. So these are the questions, the abortion, all the evil that has been going on, all the godlessness that's been going on here has caused a revival to start up again. Now, there's some good news, okay? I would like to think, I was just reading the verse of my new Bible. I've got this other Bible here. This thing is like, you got to train at the gym to lift this thing. And the print is actually so big it takes forever to get through it. But I have Psalm 40 to read a little bit later. But the one that I've got is the one that's portable is very it's very cool. It's got like an index of the Old Testament and New Testament, but it's light. See, the point is it's light and I can read it without glasses. So it's something I can just have. Oh, here it is. Well, I'll give you a description of it. It is, and I suggest at these times have as much analog stuff as you can get. If you can get an analog Bible, i.e. a real Bible, by all means have one. It's just, I like the maps. I like, so if I want to go to, say, Hebrews or something, I can, well, I can't see in this light here, but I mean, there it is. Okay, I can see the morning light. Okay, H-E-B, boom, okay. There's Hebrews, chapter 1. with a little preamble about it. If we need more faith, I would just go to chapter 11, right? The faith chapter. And I would start reading. I can't really, the light's blinding me, Trish. You're blinding me with that light. Right, I need more light, but not too much. I mean, okay, here's chapter 11. I can't see it that well, but it's like, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many things have we overcome with faith. No, you didn't think I was going to leave you in the lurch, right? I'm like David. Are you just going to leave us here, Lord? It's all over? No. And then I start praising the Lord. Now, come on. You guys have to understand that, you know, you need to take the good with the bad, salt with pepper. You know, it's not going to just be all this rosy, sweet, you know, I'm above it all shit. You know, I mean, I got the Lord. I got no worries. You know, everything's positive all the time. Now, I agree. I have the perfect, almost bipolar personality for a writer. Perfect. I get very morose at times, and very emotional. But I mean, at the same time, I have never left you guys in the lurch. Now, when I put my little magnifying glasses on, this is awesome. I'm going to start marking this Bible up. I hate to do that. I'd like to just leave it. You know, there's nothing like having a new. But now this Bible here. This is what I would call the perfect Bible for me, okay? This is the perfect, you know, weapon. This thing is a weapon, and it feels like a weapon in my hand. And I will just say this. It is, what am I going to say about it? Uh-oh. Let me say who it's published by. Thomas Nelson... .com. It's the Authorized King James Version Red Letter Edition. And I always have a King James. I'm aware of the 1611 and all the rest of it, but I prefer, for me, the King James has always worked for me. Part of it is because I need inspiration, you know what I mean? And it's just, and it's, I'm not really after intellectual, anything intellectual. I'm always after something emotionally to gird up and to be strong and to, you know, have faith and overcome, you know, that sort of thing. But it's great looking at here at the Mediterranean Sea, you know, this map of the sea and seeing how close all these little regions are that we read about and, you know, getting, understanding geography. And what else can I say about it? I mean, yeah, I'll probably mark it up. It has a leather. It says leather. Smell it. It smells like leather. And I'm, you know, well, you killed an animal. No, I didn't kill any animal. It said it was leather bound. And what can I say about it? It was $22 on, I think, Amazon or one of those. $22. And I thought, what a great deal for $22. I mean, what an amazing thing. You know what that things cost today. You don't get anything. But, so I had my little thing holding chapter 11. And so let's go on. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God, and he was translated. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And by the way, he was about 80 years old. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, the only way you could set out on a journey like that, not knowing exactly where you're going, but listening to God for direction. See, that's the instruction to all of us. We don't know where we're going, but we're going to wait on God for instruction. And so, Lord, we just hand this entire COVID, riots, America, strife, Marxist, all of it, globalist, Gates, everything. We hand it over to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We hand it over to you and we ask that you deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You're the power. You're on the throne. We ask for you to deliver us from this hand of evil that's gripping around us. It's like a hand that's gripping around us, Lord. We ask for you to release us from this hand of evil in Jesus' name. Because we put you first, Lord. We love you. We don't love the world. We don't love these people. We don't care what they think of us. We just want to serve you, Lord, because we're your children. And Lord, will you protect your children now today in Jesus' name? The answer is yes, of course. What father wouldn't? What mother wouldn't? And since he has the power to do so, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't she? The Holy Spirit is with us and has not departed and will instruct, you know, which way to go, which is obviously to keep sojourning, to be a light in this darkness. Because guess what has started up like a match, lighting a flame? An actual Jesus movement. Not the same as a church movement, not the same as a revival, but a Jesus movement of some kind. And of course, that's going to morph into various things. But I see that as a good thing. Right? Right? And I see that sweeping because people want an alternative to the evil. We don't want, ultimately, we don't want to wallow in evil. We know what wallowing in evil. Wallowing in evil leads to, right, degradation. It leads to a self-view of hatred, and it makes us feel like we're not worthy of any good thing. That's what sin does. When we embrace sin, we start feeling day by day weaker and weaker and worthless and worthless. Until finally we feel like we're just weak, sniveling fools at the behest of sin, that sin runs us. That every time we try to mount a righteous attack on sin, we get brought down even further sometimes. And that comes, I'm going to give a little moment for that. That comes with an all or nothing. With an all or nothing attitude, you know, it's kind of like, it's like my song. I wrote a song, Abomination, a long time ago. I don't know where it is now. It's somewhere. I haven't really been involved in any kind of songs in a while, but I know what I'm going to do when I get back to it. Oh, yeah. I'm going fuzz guitar, baby. Slow rock. Slow blow, slow fuse, rock guitar, poetic lyrics. Real simple. Guitar, bass, drums, you know, in the kind of like older style, maybe with a little organ. Do you guys remember Steppenwolf? I mean, I know that's going back a ways, but, you know, you remember. They were very famous. Well, it's funny. I saw they're still playing. I mean, I don't know if now, but it'd be a couple of years ago they were still playing. Yeah, three years ago now. Yeah, everything's getting old and dying, folks. You know, it's just amazing. And John Kay was singing just as good as he ever did. He's in his 70s, and he just was killing it. But the real star of the show, of that band, is the organist. And I wish Rich Keltner would see this. This guy had two Leslies. And that beautiful Hammond B3 organ. It takes an army to get that thing on stage, right? And the two Leslies right at his ears, not way back by the drums, not way back in the back or in the corner. The two Leslies were right on him. You know, they were right there where the organ was. Organ, and then a few feet away, the two Leslies side by side. And you could see the whirring, the horn, the Leslie horns whirring around. And he got that sound, that you know, that special iconic sound that's in that drives the song Born to Be Wild and other songs that they do. But that signature sound. And now I know how he gets it. He's got to have two Leslies, not one. That's how he gets it. And he's still using that same kit today. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I like things like that. I like cultural things where I can take a minute and be like a kid, you know, and go, gosh, that's cool, those two Leslies. That's how we were when we were kids. Like, you can turn it up past 10. You're kidding. And it'll even break the window if you hit a note high enough. Wow. You know, my amp's louder than your amp. Well, we played all those games because we were at that age in the 60s. We were 14, 15 years old. When all the rock music was also famous, and it was all iconic. It was all very creative, and you know, I hate to say it, but it was a much better period of music then than it is today. And really, as I was in my youth, in my 18, 19, 20, 21 year old, you know, music was good then, but it kind of dwindled over the years and decades until now. I don't know, I guess it's this sort of pop music thing. But anyway, back to this debacle that's happening. This globalist push to take over and destroy I don't mean to now go from crying about it to now go, you know, that we can overcome it. But we've got prayer. We've got the word. Okay, you got the word of God, and hopefully you'll add your gun to that. We all need to be armed, and we all need to know how to use these firearms. And it's like, you know, it may not even be for an offensive purpose. It may be for a defensive purpose. And I hope that doesn't come to that. But, you know, see, here's the thing that makes me break down in sorrow, is to see these people that are supposed to be upright sell out to the enemy, to the global enemy, you know, to the global Marxism, you know, become traitors and then still be in office acting like they're protecting us and they're trying to instruct us to sell out too. It's a heartbreak for me. You know, like I had sports heroes when I was a kid. We used to trade baseball cards, right? Remember? How could I trade a card today? In good conscience, it's not easy to do when people are obviously, they say, well, taking a knee is a knee of, you know, hating slavery and hating racism. No, it's not. It's a knee to the Marxists. It's a knee to global communism. It never was about race. It never was. It's great to have an anti-racial program, that's fine, and educate people that there were racists and riots and, you know, and slavery, and there's all kinds of bad things there, and there's also other slavery going on. There's slavery going on right now that should be stopped. We should be raising awareness. Nobody should enslave anybody. That's wrong. Racism is wrong, obviously. But this isn't about that. I promise you. I swear to you. I promise you. It's not about that. Just like the abortion was never about freeing up women from these burdens they couldn't handle, meaning having a baby because they screwed around. Its original purpose was to get rid of black babies. You know, I didn't make the rules. That was Margaret Sanger and Bill Gates' father. So you understand where Bill Gates is coming from. And, you know, and then he's down in Africa, you know, with his needles. And, you know, God knows what kind of havoc he's causing there with those populations. But he seems to be obsessed with black people for whatever reason. And I think it's a eugenic reason. And I think it's terrible. But where is any of the black outrage? I mean, where's, you know, well, my friends who are black, they know. I know what they know. They know what I know. I don't know more than they know. They don't know more than I know. We know together, don't we? You and I, you listeners, you know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm saying. You know everything I'm going to say. You know, nothing I'm saying here is a surprise to you at all. Nothing that I'm, you know, the way I'm saying it is maybe unusual or unpredictable, but basically when all is said and done, you knew before I said it everything I was going to say. You just like me, I listened also to podcasts and things because I need to hear it. Even though I already know it, I need to hear it again from another human being that to me seems rational because I need to keep my sanity. And I can't keep my sanity if I feel like I'm all alone in this sea of complete upside down world insanity. There is a design to what they're doing. There is logic behind what they do, behind their double speak and behind all the things they're doing. We've seen it before. Look at the big black book of communism. We've seen it before. Check out some of David Horowitz's writings. We've seen it before. We understand what these people do. We understand Chi-Com violence, and we understand them trying to expand by buying the movie studios and turning them into a little more than propaganda machines, right? There's always the hero is the FBI, the hero is the CIA. Not really. Not really. You can't say that. I'd say maybe 50-50, you know, half of them are white hat, half of them are black hat. There's a big war going on behind the scenes. Yeah, well, they're not going to show you that. Well, Michael Mann tried to show some of it with a film he did called Black Hat, which was, you know, pretty cerebral. It didn't, you know, he hasn't really had a hit in years, but that's still one of my favorite directors. He hasn't had a hit in years, but if it says Michael Mann on it, I'm in. I'm watching. Yep. Yep. I used to think the same way about guys like Brian De Palma and other people that have come and gone now. But new directors coming up, I don't know. I started watching this series called, you know, Ozark Season 3. I watched Season 1 a long time ago, so I thought, check out Season 3. And it's just dribble. I'm sorry. It's just bad writing. You know, cliche dialogue, you know what I mean? Well, you don't put much work into it. You know, you come up with, you put the lampshade on the lamp, on the nose, you know. You don't try to make it a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, it feels like like a lot of these shows that get to the second or third season, they kind of blow it. It's like that, you know. There was a good season earlier. There's another one I watched called Bloodline, and I thought it was quite good with Sissy Spacek until it blew it up. The third season was terrible. You know what I mean? They run out of ideas, I think, on these series. I don't know if I'll ever wind up writing it. I'm happy with the feature film concept and what I can contribute to it, however I can help it. That's what I sort of grew up on, and that's what still makes the most sense to me in terms of, you know, spending an hour and a half, 2 hours, and that to be done with it. I like that form. It's really hard to keep, you know, like I was just thinking about keeping a series going. People get tired. People want to go write a novel. They want to go, you know, do something else. And here they are having to write this thing. And it does feel like that. It's like now it's a burden. So that it feels laborious to me, you know, like a heavy lift watching this thing. this third season. Because everyone was telling me how good it was. And I'm like, you know, so I watch it, it's like, well, it's extremely predictable and doesn't have the quality that the first one had. I don't know about the second one. There's another series I watched called Goliath. Billy Bob Thornton. First season was brilliant. And then nope for the next two. So, but I have a theory about that. And I think my theory is going to be right. We're not meant to do series after series after series, have it all be good. Like in that contest for binge watchers. We're good for that first inspiration, you know what I mean? Seeing that through. And that would be 1.5 to 2 hours. And then that's it. You know, and then if there needs to be more, there could be a sequel. That works for me better. And then those are usually not as good. Well, I had to replace my satellite out here, and I did, and it's going to save me quite a bit of money from that HughesNet, which was a complete ripoff, because the kids are all home with COVID, so they're all having to do their studies at home, and they're all having these satellites, and so I have a consumer satellite again, not a commercial. It's back to consumer, and it's very affordable, and it's very fast, and I can watch films again. So next one up for me will probably be something like Clockwork Orange or something like that. It might be a Clint Eastwood movie, you know, maybe a Fistful of Dollars or something, you know. But that's what I love. I love having that capability of you know, recognizing art and you know, what an incredible medium if you're not using it for propaganda. Same thing with television. What a great medium if you're not using it for propaganda. Propaganda being, to me, is anything, you know, feeding people Marxist ideology surreptitiously through stories to bend their will into accepting global Marxism and worshiping the state, worshiping the government as Xi wants, or, and this is a strictly American trait, worshiping idols. And who are the idols? The celebrities. That's what we do more than anybody else on earth. We worship celebrities instead of God. And then the celebrities start barking orders at us. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, and people go, okay. I know. It's amazing. You'd think they'd want to be free. Well, anyway, to the people that want to be free, we just got to keep praying. I don't have a solution, like a geopolitical solution right now. You know, the Jesus revival, Jesus only, whatever they're doing, Jesus freak type revival. Go, go, go. Anytime the name Jesus is being heard and people are praying in Jesus' name, it's good. We pray in Jesus' name because that name is above all other names, and that is the name Jesus told us to pray, you know, in his name, and ask the Father to help us, whatever our need is, to bring it before him, you know, in the name of Jesus. So that's why we pray that way. Well, it gets results. I mean, I've lived an entire almost 2 years on like one obstacle after another being lifted. And it's gotten to the point now where I just start laughing when God lifts an obstacle. Because it happens like every time I pray, he's there. It's not like I've ever prayed with an idle intention. He's always there. And the answer is always the same. Number one, don't worry. You know, whatever you need to do about this situation that's going on, whether you need to train with guns or, you know, get stronger with the faith of the Lord or all the above, just go ahead. Do what you feel you need to do. Just don't be complacent. That's the main thing. Don't be complacent. You need to rely on God. We need to rely on God as a people every single day. Because they are not going to do anything for you. We may have to start sub-economies, you know, underground economies. We may have to start bartering with each other. And we can't do it. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm not going to, you know, leave you with just, you know the bad news. And I started off with the bad news, and it was pretty, pretty amazingly bad. I did mention about Trump having fewer casualties than anyone else. Absolutely, that was by his design. But is he oblivious to things like, you know, putting the statue of Albert Pike back up? I mean, that's such an insult to me. Is he, are we bewildered at watching him tout the vaccines and kiss up to Bill Gates? We hate that. It's insanity. It's like a total traitor. But then, on the other hand, there's been good. It's been a mixed bag with him. But did he interdict? Did he have the greatest economy in the world? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's for sure. And he'd be the only one that could actually bring it back to working on that level. And to working for, you know, he almost had the wage up above that $15 an hour threshold on its own without any government official telling you to do that with your employees. He almost had it up there, but then it's fallen back now because of the COVID. Now, I told you they were going to pull something. They're going to just tip the chessboard over. They were not going to let him win. So they're going to take the economy. They're going to kill a whole bunch of people. They don't care. You know, the other thing is, can't you understand that in this country, Democrats mean totalitarians? Democrats mean poverty. Democrats mean violence. Shouldn't that inform people on their voting? Well, sure, a Republican, you might get a neocon that wants to go into a foreign war again, like a Lindsey Graham. He can't wait to go, you know, send 100,000 troops to, you know, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. I mean, you know, don't vote for that. Be aware of what those guys do. I mean, that's the same thing as, you know, but the left does their totalitarian thing, right? No freedom. And the right, if you get too far right to the warmongers, they do the warmongering thing. We don't want either one. I want freedom, and I don't want foreign entanglements, because I'm more of a libertarian. I'm not a Republican in the sense I want to go on these adventures to occupy places just so we could try out the latest gear from Raytheon. I don't want to do it, or from whatever gun manufacturer, tanks, or whatever it is. I understand the need to be careful of the danger on both sides of both political parties, but I mean, the radical left and the radical right, they both have, you know, they both are a formula of misery, right? If you have authoritarian rule, you're in poverty, you're miserable. So Democrat plans would be poverty, misery, totalitarianism, godlessness, retraining camps, all that stuff, all the Chinese propaganda, communist, you know, stuff is what they're about. And on the right, you get wars. They got to appease their base. War manufacturers, they got to go try out their weapons. I say just don't fall for either one. And that's assuming that we're going to get off, you know, we're going to somehow they're going to let the boot off the neck. Let's have an election, let's have our lives. Rather than a guy like Gates sticking his big nose into it saying, all you people are going to comply. I mean, it's awful. And it's going to be a left-wing or Democrat thing to push for mandatory vaccines. It'll be up to the other side to try to block it. So, all right, well, be that as me, as it may be, I think my prophetic leaning right now is that things are going to just begin to drift back to normal. And I base this on... I actually base this on Roswell, New Mexico. Those of you who know New Mexico, Roswell, okay. Well, Roswell, they're not wearing the mask. They're not doing anything the government tells them to do. You know, the governor has no power there. And the sheriffs are backing up the people in defying the orders. And they are working, and their restaurants are open, and they're going for it. And the closer you get to Santa Fe, the more the governor. The governor here, Michelle Lujan Grisham, is a totalitarian bitch. She is Mrs. Hitler. She is the closest thing to death camp mama that there is. Right? She's the kind of person that would just laugh as you get sent to the ovens. Stay away from her. You know, New Mexico is one of the worst states in the world, and the reason why we are last in poverty. We are number one in poverty, which means we're last in business, right? Why? I told you. The it's a one-party rule. And I told you, here it's this brouhaha land. There's witchy-witchy everywhere you go. There's witches. I mean, they're all over the place these days, but there's a lot here. Old ones. The old, there's old vendettas with the Pueblos and the... You know, the various people understand, they think the Native American is like one tribe. I was like, no, there are a bunch of competing tribes, and sometimes they slaughter each other. If you read any history, as I have, but apparently nobody does. Or they don't remember what they read. But yeah, you know, you had fights over territory all the time. Raids on other villages and raids on one people, raids on another tribe, various pueblos being established, and then sometimes there's fighting between those, and there's the white man with his need to conquer and destroy and set up country, and it's been a real mess, but the Indian, the Native American has not been represented accurately. It's been represented as this like innocent, victim of white evil and white slavery. You know, that if the white man didn't exist, the Indian would be fine. No, that's not necessarily true. You look at the Anasazi, for example. Well, I can't go into it. You look at the Mayan. You look at the the Aztecs. You look at the never mind. Talking in a room full of mirrors. Not you guys, you know what I mean, but it's like I'm feeling the world now wrapped around me like a big mirror. And, nobody hears anything anybody says, like the Tower of Babel. Just nobody hears anything, it's just like, they don't understand those concepts. They've been fed propaganda. We bad. Come here. United States should have never been founded on the slaughter of Indians. Wrong concept. But no one's going to go check history books or do research, so I guess it just stands what Obama says. Anyway, they want to overthrow the country and put a socialist regime in, which means totalitarianism and the execution of people who don't agree, period. So, it's funny, there's the Navajo, a lot of the Navajo here are like Trump supporters. Yep, go figure. And why do you think that is, boys and girls? That's because the government, the one-party rule, right, the left, won't give adequate supplies of food and water, as the deal is. That's the deal we have with the Navajos, and apparently they're not honoring the deal, citing all kinds of reasons. And the main thing is water. I mean, this way there's food available, but water, 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 water in the desert. Okay. Well, I may not be able to solve it, but I can tell you that what we're going to be doing is we're going to be getting into these Bible Word of God more and more and more, because that's the answer. The answer is going to be prayer and the Word of God. At this point, you know, even if it is for collectively for courage to stand up against this juggernaut, it's got to be stood up to. The bully on the playground needs to be smacked to the nose. If that's the case with a son or whatever you have that getting bullied down there, it's okay to give him a couple of boxing lessons, isn't it? To teach him how to fight back, to counterpunch, so that he gets respect, so life can go on without being a horror movie. Because when that shit goes unaddressed, what happens? Yeah. People get hurt inside. The bully becomes empowered to think he can bully on into the future. And the kid that's gotten beat up that didn't know what to do, didn't feel equipped, didn't feel he could do anything, he's scarred for life on the inside. With a good counterpunch, that goes a long way to covering up those scars, believe me. That's a righteous thing to do. It's a righteous thing to do to protect your family. You know, and it doesn't just go with obviously, you know, this is a conquering force right now. New Mexicans, listen. All three of you are listening. You're not supposed to live here as slaves. Constitution is not ripped up. It is not suspended. You have the right to exist and to make a living. It's unreasonable. The governor has kept it shut down now and kept anyone but Walmart, big mega corporations, from being able to make a living. That is wrong. The risk is no more than a flu. In fact, we've had flus way stronger and more deadly than this one through here. And that didn't affect anybody going to school, anybody going to work, anybody doing anything. Anyway, the woman needs to be defied. The sheriffs are on your side, but the state police are on her side, the goons. And they're not all on her side. But I mean, they will be if people keep complying. Well, I don't know what rebellion looks like. Maybe you have a mask burning downtown. You run a marathon somewhere without masks on. You open your business, your pizza delivery business. You're not supposed to, but you do, or whatever, or some kind of thing. You do something, put on an outdoor concert. You know, what I love is this Jesus movement putting on. There was a revival down at the beach in Santa Monica. Did you know that? You did? I'm the last one to know. Was that down at the pier?
I think so.
I would have loved to have been there. What, right? You go down to that thing. These revivals may be the best hope for really positive rebellion, because Jesus, again, I'm going to just get like people just sick. I'm bored of them. I'm listening to my broken record. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? I was just reading yesterday about Jesus, you know, the vine, right? We're the fruit on the vine. And the vine is, you know, the Father takes care of it and prunes those branches that need to be pruned. It's brilliant. It's like we need to be connected. And when you're connected to that vine, I mean, that is, you feel it. You feel you are connected to the Almighty. You feel you are connected to everything. You are more powerful than any man in that connection, but you're connected together. And yet there's no individuality, even though you're an individual. It's an amazing thing. And I wish people could get onto it. But the propaganda has made it hokey or stupid or racist or something like that, which is not at all it. And furthermore, any real Jesus freak is not afraid to die in a situation like we have right now. Right? No greater love that he has that he would lay his life down for his friends. No greater love is this than a man would lay his life down for his friends. I'm paraphrasing, but I read that yesterday too. You know, the Lord was leading me these various scriptures. You know, we mustn't be afraid of death if we have to lay down our life for the Lord. Meaning, I believe in Jesus. No, I will not renounce. Okay, cut my head off or whatever. That may happen, and that's a gift of being a martyr. No greater love than that. You know, that proves it all. Who would do that unless Jesus was even more real than this world? Than this world. Now, if there was nothing to it, I wouldn't say anything about it. We could just go on wallowing and you know, how upset we are at everything that's happened. Further, I pray, Lord, I just hand President Trump over to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Please straighten him out. Please get him up to speed on all these things that he doesn't appear to know about. Please help him to understand what we understand. In Jesus' name, amen. I think a part of what's happening with Trump is ignorance. He just has people around him that are telling him the world is one way when it's not that way. Telling him that obviously that Gates isn't so bad when Gates is bad, right? Fauci's out there throwing a ball on the stadium. Here's a guy that was completely invested in the Wuhan lab, completely invested, going to make billions off the vaccine. You know, here he is throwing the ball out at the ball game when he should be behind bars. This is bullshit. Bizarro world, you know, weird world, upside down world, disconnected, nonsensical world. You arrest him for treason and for acts of sedition against the United States of America and probably a dozen other laws. Along with Gates, Soros, his son, the witches, the adrenochrome junkies, the whole bit. Round them up, throw the key away. They are the worst of us. But they are also lawbreakers. The one thing about every Satanist that there is, every Satanist breaks laws. Well, they may not tell you about it. It may be something little. But they go out of their way to break laws, to get away with stuff. They like to even tell you what law they're going to break, and then break it, and put it out in plain sight that they're going to break it. We're supposed to be locked down in a semi-quarantine situation in California and elsewhere. But if you're rioting, i.e. breaking the law, it's okay. They're breaking the law. It's not okay. If the disease is to be taken seriously, they're super spreaders. But the scientists have come out and said, there's no spread if you're protesting. If you're not protesting, there's a spread. If you're at a Trump rally in South Dakota, where there was no spread, by the way, there's a spread. No, there's no spread in South Dakota after the 4th of July. No, none. Zero. Because that's not even the issue. Southern states were punished by authoritarians releasing a second wave of virus, in my opinion, designed to shame the governors who had opened up. I was in Texas before that happened. Things were opening up. People were behaving nicely. People were very, they were wearing their masks, keeping distance, but they're also having their restaurants opening. And we ate outside at one place, and then another place we ate inside, had a couple of drinks at the bar, and then had a table, and it was distant from other tables. They were obeying the rules. They weren't, there was nothing wrong with them whatsoever. They didn't deserve to have this next wave thrown at them. The second wave was supposed to come in the fall more, but apparently it came now. Well, I just go by Gates. He said there'll be a second wave in the fall that'll really get their attention. So I suppose this is it. Just got to watch Gates, what he says. He'll tell you what he's going to do. He says there's another pandemic coming, worse than this one. Can anyone stop him from breaking the law and murdering people? Is he above the murder law? Is he above the sedition law? Above the traitor law? Above all the laws? All right. Well, that's the end of the rant today. I'd hope to be more prophetic and lead you into a beautiful word that God would give us of how the future is going to be awesome. But I sense that. I sense it's going to be. I sense there's life. Okay, let me explain what I see. The last thing I'm going to do is lay this on you. I see the other side of this wall being complete opposite of what we have now. Life goes on, but there's a whole new kick up in technology that's not evil, let's say, necessarily, but just other kind of technological breakthroughs that would be helpful to people. And possibly free energy. But I see this coming down the pike, become a new paradigm, And I see people thriving there. So there's nothing that's going to stop that. So this wall here is like the old guard, the old technology, trying to hold us back in the old, MK Ultra, World War II, gas, tin cans, flying around, trying to keep us back in that old technology when there's another one right ahead, more of a four-dimensional technology. And that's coming. People are there. I see them thriving, everybody thriving. Now see this style, this like gulag. There's no gulags today. We're going to do this to you like we did back in the 30s. There's no 30s today. There's no gulag death camp type thing. I mean, they planned it, sure. But we're not there now. We're at the door of another era. And that door is going to be open. And that is your prophetic word. That is the word for today. That door will open, and we will go through it as humanity, and we'll be better off for it. But now, we're not going back to the 30s. All this political violence, they did this in the streets in the 30s. Same thing. We're not going back to that. This is not going to be some workers' paradise thing with all those propaganda posters. That was the 30s. This is now. It's not that way. We're at the door of another thing. The human will not go back there. Just like they won't obey the mask laws and all the other things that they're trying to set up, they're not paying attention. Because there's something else ahead for us. We could get through this. And we will get through this. We will get through this. But one of the problems we have is tremendous ignorance on the side of people that they don't understand that a thing necessarily isn't what it purports to be. Like the take a knee really isn't exactly justice and equality for black people that have been maligned. I agree, black people have been maligned in this country and made to feel unwelcome or subhuman or whatever they've been made to feel. And those concerns must be addressed. I agree that Margaret Sanger should be brought out into the light. As long as we're talking about, you know, restoring confidence of black people in general in a society and say, well, it's tainted with white culture, so it has to be torn down. One thinker is saying we're going to lose the whole country because people are saying that it's inherently racist, so the only way you can fix it is to get rid of it. Okay, this is an old Marxist plot. And of course they want to get rid of black people. The people marching are racist against black people. Black people are against black people. That's what I see. It's so frustrating. Why can't we get on the same page of truth? All the time, the deceivers are doing double deception. They figure they say, well, this is what it is, when it's really something else. And they're good at it, and they're deceiving everybody. Then they get the corporatocracy to go along with it. No, the corporatocracy invented it. It's their baby. It's their ball. Not black people, white people, brown people, whatever color or racism and all that. They're the racists. The multinational corporations, they put the money into it. They stage the riots. They pay the rioters. They pay the lawyers. Why can't we ever get to the truth? Because people are uneducated and miseducated. They're taught to look at the first thing, the headline, and believe that. So as long as they keep doing that, we're going to be going around in this rut. The racists, there are these black people who want to have an island for just black people. And I understand that's a reactionary against all the other people out there. But that's a racist thing to do. To have a race, say black or white. If white people, I want an island that's whites only. That's racist. I want an island that's blacks only. That's also racist. Not they're okay, but we're the racist. That's the deception. That's the lie. That's what they're trying to put on all of us. And you got these baseball players, dumbass players, right? Right, jocks and actors, right? Okay. Sorry, actors. No, I know some of you are very, very intelligent. Excuse me. I'm trying to make a joke, but I guess that's not funny today. I will see you next time.